Hey, and welcome to the Mountain Cat Guitars podcast, where we discuss all things guitar related. My name is Doug Meyer, owner of Mountain Cat Guitars, and I've been buying and selling guitars professionally for over 25 years. From boutique guitar and amp builders, vintage guitar dealers and experts, guitar repairmen and luthiers, retailers, manufacturers, and of course guitar players, we talk to the people who buy, sell, play, and of course obsess over the things we love most, guitars.
Hey everybody, this is Daniel. Welcome to episode 4 of the podcast. This is a continuation of our talk with Shira when our friends walked in, Nightbob and Josh. So it kind of starts mid-conversation and Nightbob is telling us about how many guitars he's destroyed.
I think it's so powerful about that.
Let me tell you, Ronnie, putting his name in, that's no
good. Ronnie was a badass.
You know how many vintage guitars I destroyed?
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's like I bought a 60 slab of black.
Oh, I love this story. You sold it in the first podcast.
Right. Stratocaster, hardtail Strat. Right, I bought it from the kid down the street for $100.
Right, but
and wait. So the same day I came back with this, I was a Gibson guy. I was playing Les Pauls and Juniors. And I had $100, and I was like, I'm on Black Strat. Right, the same day I get a copy of Guitar Player magazine. Jerry Garcia is on the cover. Playing a mid-50s Strat. And there's no finish, and it has all this beautiful ash grain.
Oh,
right? I'm like, oh, so that's what's under the paint. Right?
Let's do this.
So I go, hey, Dad, how do I get paint off a piece of wood, right? And he goes, well, go down in the basement. There's a can of this stuff, zip strip.
Oh,
right?
No.
And get
I used that once.
And get, you know, and one of the scrapers, he goes, put the shit on. When it bubbles, you scrape it off, you're good to go. Right, so I'm down there. I disassemble, you know, I had a little screwdriver.
Yep.
Take all, just boop, 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 take it apart, take everything out, you know, unsolder
it. At least you did that.
Right, yeah, I know. Believe me. And then, you know, so I do it, I put it on, you know, I put the shit on, starts to bubble, I'm going, wow, I feel really good.
Right. I did that once too in my basement, right? House with the windows
like,
closed.
I don't think I should be doing this.
Why are there bunny rabbits everywhere?
Yeah, it's like,
I'm going to take this outside, right?
I want to hear the Jefferson airplane suddenly.
So I got the scraper, and I scrape across the top of the body, and the black comes off, and underneath is seafoam green.
Wow!
And I'm like, that's even worse than black.
Oh, no.
Let's keep going.
More zip strip, right?
Oh, no.
It all comes off, and I look at it, and it's an Alderotti. There's no green.
So I'm looking
from having a black guitar, right? I now have a brown guitar, which is probably
way
like,
worse.
Oh my god! What do I go?
This sucks.
You did real good.
I'm throwing away $100. What I can do?
Oh, he threw away.
So what I did? Put the guitar back together, and I sold it to the other guitar player in my band. For
$125. See? There you go.
It's a profit deal.
Well, I mean,
this is
after all
the
you upgraded the
finish. And the finish is gone, so it doesn't kill
itself. I took the trouble getting the finish off of this thing. Two custom color finishes,
that's the best part. Look at Jerry Garcia. He's got no finish on
his. He's doing pretty good.
The wood can breathe now.
Right? Oh, I still hear that story.
$125 and it still smells of zip strip.
The wood can breathe, but you couldn't, so.
Yeah.
Oh my god. You have two custom colors.
Listen,
love the same guitar.
My 68 Les Paul Custom, I decided I want a third pickup by Keith Richard.
Good idea.
And I was like,
I got a screwdriver.
I got a chisel.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I used a screwdriver.
Chisel and hammer.
Chisel.
And I go, I did like the outline of the feet and all that.
Yeah,
and
it's
I
perfect.
Like, feel it.
Boom.
Just like, clang, clang, no fear.
There's wood flying everywhere.
Right. And I put it in, and it was like the pick was straight and everything, you know. It was cool, you know. I had to take a tall ring and make it smaller. It was funny, then like about, I don't know, 5 years later, I had the guitar up at on 48th Street, right? And Ken Parker, I said, like, yeah, I don't know about that third pickup, right? And he goes, well, just take it out, and I'll make you a cover. For the I keep hitting the cover with my pick. I don't play it that much. He goes, well, bring it in. I'll take it upstairs. We'll make you a little cover. You know, like, I went, oh, I should have thought of that, right? And he says, come up here. And I go, who installed this pickup? A beaver? And I was like,
I did.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, but
it was
sure was
him when
though.
I got it.
Yeah, not me, right. I would never do that.
I didn't know that.
I think what's amazing is that we just finished having a conversation about how people should not attempt their own guitar repair.
Then tell us to
write. Well, I agree with that, but I mean, you have to understand.
But back then, there wasn't people.
This is 1970.
This is Nightbop, so.
Right. Well, no, this is 1970. We're talking right now.
It was
what,
a dark time, from what I hear.
50 years ago?
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Where all of a sudden it was like you couldn't even, you know, I mean, I had to go to Eddie Deal and buy a pickup from him.
My first guitar was
around the corner from 48th, on the second floor of 49th Street. You know, before Dan Armstrong, you know, moved downtown, he was there, and you went to him. And I go, I need a pickup, right? And he goes, what for? I go, I need to put in. I want three pickups. He goes, you're going to regret this. And listen to what people tell you. Listen what the old people tell you. You know, and it was funny too because he said like, so he sold me a. Here we go. Love this. A patent number Gibson pickup with a nickel cover. I go, I want gold. He goes, you're going to take nickel and be happy. For $28.
Wow.
Right?
You're like, that's a fortune, right?
No, I was like, wow, okay. And then he goes, but I'm going to throw in a magnet. He goes,
okay.
When you put this, a ceramic magnet, he goes, when you need some more gas, he goes, take your bridge pickup, take the cover. He goes, like, unloosen the screws and slide the magnet out.
Wow.
And then slide this magnet in.
What year was this?
A 70.
Wow. I didn't know people were doing that long ago.
Yeah.
That was like one of those big secrets.
Yeah.
You know, it's like put a ceramic magnet rather than an Almaco magnet and you're
I didn't realize that went that far back.
Oh, yeah. That was like one of those.
People have been fucking with guitars the whole time,
But that makes them interesting, though. Right?
Well, there's tinkerers. There are people who tinker with shit.
Yeah.
Like, with less fall.
Obviously,
small,
there's
you know?
A difference in somebody, you know, just hacking away at a thing versus doing it nicely.
Right.
But still, I like the idea that these things are just... We're reminded of the fact that they're tools with that kind of work that's been done to them.
That's true.
Right.
The whole kind of elevated collector's market,
we just went through this, right? It's funny
that.
How these things all go, most of these conversations are circular.
You're
but,
like,
but we
you son of a bitch, you're taking food out of my mouth!
I'm worried about you.
But we just discussed something like that.
I'm worried about what you
said. The same things come up on podcasts, like, you know, why are PU amp sound over it? Comes up in every podcast.
Well,
do better purple amp sound
love
better?
Pit guard.
Of course, they do.
Pit
yeah. I gotta get a purple amp on my
mouth. Yeah, I love this. It's so...
Yeah, this guitar is just...
Here, you hold it.
Oh, I didn't even look at that. It's so funny.
Don't look at that price.
I looked at that guitar forever. I never even looked at the price tag.
You bought it here. You paid too much.
It's still a 56 Martin.
I don't care. It's got double pickguards on it.
Here,
no sound.
Let me see that. You
know, come on, no sound.
It chokes the sound. Sorry.
Let me see that now that I know.
Talk to the Everly Brothers
hold
about
on,
that.
Hold on. First of all, the Dave Dudley guitar that we had with the double leather pickguard on it is one of the best.
Who?
That's actually a good price for
best,
this.
Who? One of the best sounding guitars I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
At least there was an organic leather pickguard.
It should have sounded.
Material.
It should have sounded like. What do you know about organic material?
I don't know why about organic material.
I don't know what that means.
We got it.
I don't know what that means.
That went sideways fast.
Yeah, oblique drug reference.
I don't think this price is fair for what this guitar is.
Check the neck out on this thing.
We won't tell them what the price is.
Well, we won't tell them, but I just saw it.
I
think that's a fair price for what this is.
You don't think this guitar rings out?
If that said Carmine,
that doesn't sound like
Trump. It'd be different. That guitar is actually cheaper, older, and better than a new Gibson Les Paul.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that price is that terrible.
No, I don't think
honest.
So either.
But what
the
is.
Double pickguard, double plastic pickguard thing, that is Ronnie's big mistake.
This was Ronnie's big mistake.
It doesn't seem to sound, it sounds amazing, so maybe.
It sounds a lot more amazing
good.
Without that
you think?
Double pickguard.
I don't know.
I don't know how much better could it sound. It's not like there's thick pickguards on like a
J200. No, okay,
they're so distinctive and interesting.
But is the pickguard making it sound?
It's going to fly away.
When you're sitting at home, take your favorite acoustic guitar, right? And then just have Melissa put both her hands on the top while you're playing and see what happens.
Well, your whole hand pressure is a lot different than a
piece of plastic. that's on half of the vibe. You know, where's the sound come from? The vibrating top?
Right. But this isn't like, it's not like an Everly Brothers where those things are this thick.
Were they thick on those?
They're crazy thick, yeah. This is thick. You know, like, that's why the Everly Brothers guitar sounds terrible. You ever hear a great sound of Everly Brothers guitar?
Right, you know, now all the electric guitar players are like,
be weird
they're
anyway.
Getting ready to turn the channel now.
Yeah.
Let me give you something for the electric guitar players, right, that they can all go do at home, right? Take your guitar.
You guys.
Right? Hit a big chord, and then go to like, your toolbox or your girlfriend's toolbox or your dad's
toolbox. Okay. That sounds weird.
Listen,
it's a struggle.
Your girlfriend's toolbox actually
is
going to be a band.
I appreciate it. Listen, right? And get a C clamp.
We should form that band.
Right?
We're in.
Get a C clamp.
Oh, thank you.
And put it on, you know.
Thank you, Connor.
And you're welcome.
This Connor McDowell. Incredibly helpful, awesome dude.
And the way your guitar rings will completely change.
Sure. Mm. Every part vibrates and talks to the other part of the guitar.
So,
that's true.
Putting a big chunk of plastic on a vibrate on the top, on a spruce top, right, is detrimental to the sound.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
So
there we go. We can move on now.
That being said, I think that this is a good sounding guitar.
It's a great sound.
Listen to that big open strut.
Imagine what it would sound like without those.
I wonder.
We'll never know. We'll never know.
Well, you could maybe someday someone would remove
them. She's absolutely right.
We'll never know.
We will never know.
Right. This is the thing.
No one's going to take that off.
This
is
something that Steve says.
Right.
That I know. This is like my favorite saying of his. Mm. Once a pickle, never a cucumber again.
Huh, yeah.
That's really good.
That's actually very folksy. Steve, that's fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Steve Urich, Russian Prep Vintage Guitar.
Bravo.
He's a genius.
That's really brilliant. I've never heard anyone say that before.
Me neither. It's
fucking
dead on.
It's literally the
best right there. It's very relatable.
There's nothing wrong with a pickle. It's just not a cucumber.
Yeah.
No,
it's so true. You can think about that for a month. You just live inside that thought.
That's all I think about.
That's literally all I'm going to do for the next book. Canceling my plans. Thinking about the pickled cucumber. Problem.
But to continue on, you shouldn't do your own repairs things, right? When I was working with the New York Dolls, right, Thunders bought a 70 reissue Flying V from Mr. Friedman up at We Buy Guitars. And he comes to me and he goes, "You put the third pickup in your guitar, didn't you?" I went, "Yeah." He goes, "Did you put a third pickup in my Flying V?"
Give me a chisel.
I go, "Yeah." Well, by that time, I had moved on to using a drill.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There we go. I knew it.
I was like, all you got to do is hit your knuckle once.
Yeah,
and you're like,
we did it with a screwdriver. Flathead screwdriver.
No, you just go and you just like, let's
hop. This is my knife box. It's not allowed in our shop.
I love power tools. I'll destroy a guitar in a minute. You know? You got a bandsaw? No, it's like, that's my favorite.
See, this guitar just sounds incredible.
I think this guitar sounds great. Ronnie.
Have you played this guitar every day for a week?
I was deciding what to bring with me for fun show and tell, and I was playing this guitar. The guitar was in my hand, and I was like, I have to bring this one.
It
obviously has a story that we'll never know.
You should get this
one. I want to know who Ronnie is.
We all want to know who Ronnie is.
Where'd it come from? Where'd the guitar come from?
It came from a magical land.
Where nymphs and gnomes live.
Yeah, called.
It came from Santa Claus.
It came from another reputable source of instruments.
But no one knows the lineage of it?
I can't. We don't know who Ronnie is. I don't know who Ronnie is. I think we got this in a horse trade, actually.
Did
you guys call Martin?
Or Ronnie McDonald.
It could
be anybody.
Have you called Martin?
I haven't.
Because they have records.
Maybe I should.
Someone I know did that with Martin recently.
Does this look like a Martin customization, though? It doesn't look like Martin.
But they may know something about the guitar.
Yeah.
Someone there may know.
Sure,
it could be an employee.
They might be able to tell me what year it was made, but I could figure that out.
Have you ever seen an employee or any sort of Martin with that type of inlay? Employees were told
to make a tool. Do we think this is the original fretboard?
Yeah, it's really good. Well, it certainly didn't have frets in it when they did that.
That would have had It would have had dots.
It would have something.
I don't know. I think.
But you know, employees were supposed to make guitars at Martin.
They're sure. Supposed to make and you do find those guitars.
Right, those employee Martin. So it could be that a guy named Ronnie.
This is,
and his friend had really good inlay skills.
I have this theory about this guitar.
Because it never had dots.
A completely unbelievable theory.
What's that?
My theory is this guitar was made 1956. Bought by somebody, maybe Ronnie, who played the ever-loving out of it. And it had a bunch of wear.
You could say curses.
Just trying to protect your
just the internet.
I just couldn't decide which one to use.
She played Listen. Out of it.
That's what happened. Yes,
probably.
Sir.
Probably. You can see somewhere there.
And,
so it's by more
and there, I oh. think that there was wear. Pick wear here. And...
Yes, if you pick a certain way that I've had guitars
and so Ronnie
that.
Got yeah, the guitar
I think
in
you
his
need
hands.
To install this
okay.
on that guitar.
I don't know, but let's find out.
Speaking of Martin,
whoa,
that is a complete harness for a Martin semi-acoustic
That thing, the M
yeah.
something,
but that's from D'Armond.
Yeah.
Okay, look at the box.
Whoa.
Yeah, here, let me see if the camera can...
Yeah, you can get in this.
Whoa.
Look at the double-ganged pots.
That's a stacked...
Turn down both volume controls at the same time.
Whoa.
Wow. All right. I've never seen the guts of one of those.
Yeah, nor it looks like one of the Alnico pickups from the 50s.
It does,
from
yeah.
that angle.
Yeah.
That's
but
the Armin, though.
But they look at the top of the pickup. They changed the bezel to make it so it didn't look like...
Like what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it didn't look like a D'Armond.
Right, just
well, that's
straight
like
up
on that,
Dynasonic.
We want it to look different than Gretsch.
We had a few of them. The Martin Electric.
Yeah, the M65 or 75. There were two of them.
I don't remember.
There was two models. It was an M65.
No, the M65 is a little guild.
I think that thing was an M something, too.
I think it was.
They're cool looking. I mean, they're
I
weird
saw the
as hell.
It looks like a 335.
It was not a super popular guitar.
No.
It was like
they've
tent.
Become really popular now.
Right, because someone probably used it in a video. Or
because
no,
I'm
because
like,
anything.
No,
that's
it's like let's
fun,
talk, Jeff, I don't want to get too far off where that. That's for you.
Oh, right. Thank you.
And then, but like, let's talk about the popularity of the Italian guitars.
We hit them
yeah.
too.
Yeah, like the Wandre stuff, right? I used to buy those guitars for $60.
Is that right?
Bring
and now I'm looking.
Here.
I'm looking at
Wandres are not common. You know, like,
no,
there's,
well,
there's one right over there.
More common than you think, especially in the Northeast. The bottom are still sitting in the back. Like that.
But Danny
that's
was
a
here.
Normal.
We had a Wandre upright case.
Yeah,
this one's normal. That's
this one looks brand new.
That's got a wooden neck.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen those?
No, it's plastic. Yeah, we had a double.
No, that's not wood.
We've had a few
this is
white
plastic.
Ones.
But look at the bridge.
And
well,
we had
plastic.
One that had
but look at the bridge
two pickups.
Yeah,
it's all
we've had one with one.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had one with two.
Look at the bridge.
Yeah, south side.
Yeah.
You ever
oh,
see a
I
bridge
know.
Like that? It's incredible.
That's
pretty
it's
weird.
It's underneath.
It's yeah. underneath. Yeah.
And I've seen...
This is the, what is it, mute?
Yeah.
You know, guitars with mutes, we never understood. What's someone you love?
You do this?
Someone misses something, you have a lovely daughter. Start with the mute.
Oh, no,
it's that one song by like the Hollies or something.
Somebody
started the mute thing.
Is that
no, it was Hermit's
from?
Hermits. Yeah, and they said that's where these mutes came from.
No, they existed before.
They go back before that, but they popularized
them. Well, you know, look at all the.
I could be wrong. That could be guitar folk.
Jazz masters had mutes.
Right.
Jazz masters had
mutes. But they used it.
What, for surf music? They
no,
did.
For, I think it was the Hermits used it in some song, and everybody wants
Ghost
guitar
Riders
to
in the Sky has a muted guitar.
Which one?
Yeah.
Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Let's not bang him into
it. It's like, anybody would do anything for a new sound. Look at the headstock.
It's like a Burns bicycle.
It's incredible.
It has that vibe.
You know what it has? What vibe
sure.
it has?
Look
like
it has
it.
That, like,
that was made
that,
that's in
how
old
it has.
I know, it's crazy.
Yes, absolutely.
Look at the pickguard.
This is incredible.
The Doris,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
Made in a
accordion.
Doris and Ronnie could have gone out
for sure.
And there's a lumen that's running from the.
That's it? Let's hear it.
To the bridge.
It's a good one. Everyone has a tryout review. You definitely have one.
No, I don't.
You don't have the testing.
You do this one thing when you. I've seen
every guitar.
I can remember this.
Yeah.
I like to.
I've seen you try enough guitars.
Because my I just want to get up the neck, in a reasonable way mm-hmm. and kind of cover a lot of ground
that
at
makes
once.
Sense.
To yeah, because I want to hear
see, I always do
what
this
the guitar
thing.
Is.
I want to hear what that sounds like.
You
hear stuff ring.
So he plays in a band. He plays more than the three of us put together.
Sure plays a lot from what I got.
Hey, this is Daniel. Sorry to interrupt. We had some issues with our main camera, so we had to switch over to our secondary camera. It's a little more handheld and raw, but our feed comes back on in about 1 minute and 30 seconds. And let us know what you think. Maybe it's cooler. Andrew Follett, what do you think? Thanks, guys.
She sure plays a lot from what I got.
We were learning
a lot
from
you
tonight.
I don't think she's a compulsive player, but yeah. Yeah, I do a lot of playing. But
I don't play in an organized fashion a lot, but I play a lot.
It's like, you know, like Dickie Betts would do like this. I don't like this guitar.
Done. Burn it. That's I'll buy it just to burn it.
But Walter had a thing too. Like he would do this certain thing. I saw him drawing up guitars where he would do the same thing every time he goes to the guitar.
Deadly riff. We're like, here we go.
Yeah, go.
And then like Danny and Chelsea had the riff, we called it. And someone there learned how to play his riff and would fuck his head up.
But the riff kind of depends on the guitar, right? I'll do that on an electric guitar, but if you give me this guitar, this is what I start to do.
Boy, this thing is wacky.
An electric.
Yeah,
I play that song all the time.
Yeah, this is like my this kind of workshop.
Yeah,
I do.
Stutter? I don't know.
I don't know.
Like that.
They switch it. They won't.
You're really lucky. I started to sing, but we're not that lucky today.
It's like both or treble, and then here it's like.
It sounds good on this one.
Yeah.
That's actually, it should sound better on that one. That's actually the period.
This guitar has a turn signal.
Oh, you're doing Nobody Knows.
And so you can.
I was doing Hesitation Blues.
It's close.
You can let people know you're changing lanes.
Blues and Rosewood really loud.
When they're right. When they're like, this one's got it. What's that low string? Well, they called these portable pianos back then.
Sounds about right.
We could do that.
Yes, I've never
it'll still
that,
be going.
Sure. Why not?
Portable pianos. That's what they call them.
Right.
I'm older than you. But they call D20 is portable piano.
Because piano is. Because
it just if you hit that note, it'll still be doing this 2 minutes from now.
Let's time it.
Well, I don't know.
It's still going. Silence. Silence.
Just imagine if it had an amp.
There you go.
It's still going.
It's still going.
Stuff
is
in there.
Just tap a little bit.
Can you hear me?
Imagine if it was purple.
Ronnie, are you in there?
Dude, watch out.
Ronnie,
you're something in spirit.
Where are you?
But that goes on for a really long time. Beyond. I don't know if it's 2 minutes. I may have made that up. But frankly, guitars don't do that.
You may have made that up.
I may have made that up.
You may
two
have
minutes.
Made that up. It's possible.
But it's still doing it.
It's still going.
And a piano does that. Like those good pianos, you hit that note and you go away and it's still doing it.
I'd say take a licking, keeps on ticking, but don't hit that guitar.
Portable piano.
Don't you
sounds about right. Yeah. But it's the Ronnie.
But this one has that thing. Like it
the
just,
Ronnie.
Just sounds like a record.
Yeah. I'm going to go record that guitar after
this
so.
Has that thing.
Yeah.
But you know, this has everything. This is everything
I'm going to go make every demo
but,
ever on that guitar.
But this has like that V-neck. You don't feel that often on these Gibsons. Like, I mean,
Martin.
So. Oh, now I went to Martin. That's why.
Martin
no,
has
this
a
is
lot
like
of,
a more
lot
of a
V-neck.
What is that? A D
ever
what?
That
like
dream
really sharp
all of a sudden
one.
You're calling it a Gibson?
Like it just happened.
Be really nice of that, trust me.
That's
Rob.
Mine. Yeah. They should have thought about that.
Oh, though. Man.
Put a metal bar in our neck? No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, no way.
Are you looking at guitars right now?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm checking
every
my mail.
I'm so serious that every time I'm at some sort of public or private, anytime I'm with Night Bob, at some point I'll look over.
And I'll be looking at my phone.
He'll be looking at his phone, and he's not texting people. I know what he's doing.
He's looking
at guitars, and he'll be sitting in the middle of my shop. Which is
surrounded by guitars.
Surrounded by acoustic guitars, which bore the shit out of me.
We like, have I'm a room full of electric.
Yeah, you guys have a Kelly. Right?
Ask me how many
looking,
guitars I own.
He's looking at guitars.
None.
That's true.
None.
That's so about it. I've never had
a so proud about that.
I'm totally proud
Dang.
Of that.
That's true. I never thought about
firewood.
That.
Firewood. That's what I'm saying.
Well, never thought that was. I've never had a conversation with you about acoustic guitar.
Don't have them. Don't want to play them.
Wow.
Right? Don't want to touch them.
Oh, that's a new game. Do you guys know this? I defy anybody
to find a picture of me holding an acoustic guitar.
Wow, what's the reward?
You're gonna have to edit not any a lot. Footage with that guitar out.
I'm sure, I know that I've held them before.
Right, it was a held somebody.
When I was working at one Matt Umanoff's, Bob Dylan came in and he said, I want to try that, like, $14 million D. Martin.
And you were like,
right, I went to hand it to him and he goes, no. You play it.
Oh, no.
So I'm like thinking to myself, I go, maybe I should play Mr. Tambourine Man. So I'm like, maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah. So like, that's just, a good song.
I just drum chords.
Boom. He was like, I'll take it.
You know? And he was
that's
like,
that's what you need to do.
That's nice. I go, you want to play it? No, you keep playing.
Yep. Yeah.
So then I started, I was like, I'm not really an acoustic guitar player, you know? Where am I going to go? So I started playing things I hoped he didn't recognize. I did it with Walter Becker, too. I would always use The Beginning to Tattoo by The Who, from the second Who record.
That's
It's nice. It's a picky kind of thing, you know? And it has some unusual chord inversions.
Yeah.
And people go, wow, that's really cool. Becker immediately goes like, yeah, Tattoo, second Who record. I saw him play this live at the Fillmore East, and I was like, what?
Whoa.
Yeah, true.
Wow. Can't impress him.
I love that song.
Never owned one. Never owned a Martin guitar.
You never owned an acoustic guitar?
Never owned a Martin guitar.
Never will.
But you've owned acoustic guitars, or just no Martin?
When I was buying acoustic guitars, I was buying Guilds.
I love Guilds.
Because I love Guilds. They were,
I use Guilds on gigs.
Why? Because if it was if there was a problem, I could go to Hoboken and go to the factory.
But there's never a problem.
There's never
a problem. Oh, you could hold on. Hold on.
That's
hold
on.
Yeah. Here we go. Here
I'm
we go.
So sorry. There's never a problem.
Where
with
was it made?
Right.
Right, but Jersey. Every guild needs a complicated neck set at some point. So that seems like
I don't
like
know.
A
if you're talking about neck recess, I think you better start looking over at those guys.
Yeah, but at least the heel on the Martin is like this. The heel on the guild is like this wide.
It's a lot of wood to wood contact. If they were made in Hoboken,
which is why they sound good.
Yes, of course it is, but it's a.
But if it's
there's
a
complicated neck reset
one.
Coming for every single guild. Mm-hmm. If it hasn't had it already, it will.
I've never heard anybody resetting a guild. My guild is on the fence.
It's going to
be. You know who needs the most neck resets ever?
Just the heel alone.
Okay.
Rickenbacker.
The amount of space.
Electrics?
Like this little teeny tiny piece.
But they're neck threes.
The guild is like
all,
a bit.
Not all of them.
Like all those semi-hollow 360s.
It's like from the neck, it doesn't
slit. Rickenbackeritis, where the neck slowly lifts up. So you can't put the bridge down any lower.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then like the only way to fix that is you have to take the back off and reset the neck and then put the back on. It's an intense. There's only like three guys in America who can do it.
Yeah, I think I've even seen that.
Because most people, when they see Rickenbackeritis approaching, they sell them. I'm going to sell you my 67 Rickenbacker for a mere $5,000. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't see,
just wait till 2 years
from now. You don't
see
top cracks on guilds that much? Because the tops are a little thicker anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Everything was thicker.
I mean, that material.
The back inside.
That's why they were built. They're heavy.
That's why they're heavy.
You know?
And it has a German carve, yeah.
What German car?
Like the, you know, the
unbraced
the
arched
little,
back, yeah.
That
on
little
the
archety
back.
Top.
Yeah, yeah. On a guild.
On
archety
guild?
Top part. No, not on a guild.
No,
on a
Rickenbacker. They're German.
That's well, the 50s guitars had a German car, but not the only other one was that 381 in like 1970 when it was like, Let's see how much maple we can ruin in this guitar. Fucking guitar is this fucking thick.
Yeah,
it's
it
like
thick.
14 pounds.
But they made the light show guitar.
Looks really great on the wall.
A lot of
you know, it's like
meat on those
you
ones.
Better get it in like bird's eye or flamey maple, you know, because like that's a lot
but
of.
But they
maple
made that light
dying.
Show thing, which is the coolest guitar.
The what thing?
The
Rickenbacker light show.
Yeah.
I guess
that one is why.
Yeah.
No.
We had a few of them.
It gets hot.
You can only play it.
That's why you're going to replace it with an LED now.
Well, yeah,
that's
right.
True.
Yeah, Christmas lights.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fuckers get hot.
Yeah.
Right. Right. You're pointing like you're going like, everybody's like, oh, look at the guitar.
That's Toby made one.
You guys should have
light. God damn it.
I have to tie. We have one, and I have to like time people.
Each of us.
Don't tell them.
You can only play it for like 10 minutes. I do not want a melted guitar.
We'll edit that out. We'll put it back in later. That's a good idea. But you guys start today.
Your arm will burn.
I do not want a melted guitar.
We have to move in.
Fry an egg on the top.
The bridge gets hot too. You're like, hey, what's going on? Hey.
Should we tell them our idea?
What's our idea?
They're going to make a light show.
You're going to make a light show?
Wow.
With an LED?
No one's ever updated that.
No, yeah,
I've thought about it for like the 30 years.
Wait a minute.
I love this. I love that idea.
Let's do it.
I didn't know that you wanted to make a light show.
We just came up with it.
I love this idea.
I got to start today.
Here comes the kibosh.
I put those on the lights in my house.
Yeah.
Make a light show guitar.
It's been done.
It's been done.
Bradley's got the best light show guitars.
Yeah, amazing. Really.
Who does?
Yeah, Fraley.
Oh,
his fucking wow, he's really? Got. He's, they have LEDs.
It'll like do a wave.
Oh my god!
Right,
and you can adjust the speed.
But he's not selling.
You know, it goes like this. Goes that way. Goes.
Oh, I've seen. Yeah, back in your groove. Yeah.
Listen, wow.
You're gonna carve up a guitar and put lights in it.
Yeah.
You better make it. You know, because really, as soon as they see the guitar and they go, okay, the guitar blinks. And you go,
smoke
I can make it go fast and change direction.
Oh, it's really cool.
And go, oh, okay.
All right.
You know, it'll follow your hands or something.
Yeah.
In England, like, someone was telling me.
How many rockets
friend,
does it shoot out of the headstock?
Oh, we don't LEDs.
Oh, it'll go with your hands?
It'll follow your hands.
Really good smoke.
Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
I bet.
Oh, he didn't really care.
It's like a vertical.
That lit up like a vaudeville banjo that would light up when he...
That
would make sense.
Roy Smack.
Peter, where are you?
Cats.
You know the answer.
Now we're
to this.
Talking about ruining guitars and making them into.
It had
a lever
kind of on the bottom, and you'd hit your knee, and it would like light up behind
the skinhead.
That's a cool
idea. Why people were doing such interesting stuff back then?
It kind of sounds like a terrible idea, though, because if you put a light behind a skinhead, it's going to.
Go on
heat
fire.
The head up, and the head
will
like,
start
will
to change.
Start to change.
Sure, it'll deform it over time.
Yeah.
Unless
if
it won't
LED
take very much time.
Okay.
Well, I mean, like a direct heat source behind the skinhead.
Yeah, okay.
The light fiber.
In the time it takes to have made dinner, your head is
deformed.
Right, right now, you can do
or
it
better. Or
cracked,
right. Or whatever. Yeah.
Right, you can get them into the fretboard.
Yeah.
Right. I think we're onto something.
Bob's got
so Ace Frehley has one, but other people could have one now.
Yeah, right, yeah.
What a light show.
Or a guitar.
All light shows.
Look.
Only light shows. Oh, there you go.
Who's that guy?
Oh, we're watching light up guitar right
we're,
now.
We're watching.
The case
that's too digital.
Fuck that.
It's really
digital.
Yeah, we're better than that.
You're
listening to this. He's going to watch this and be like,
look.
That is pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie.
All right.
Okay,
that guy rules.
That's Las Vegas.
Okay, first of all, I love this guy. He's like,
I know, it's actually
wearing pretty his khaki.
Maybe I said that because I'm jealous.
He's the electronics guy.
Right, he does that for a living. Right.
We should meet Ant Builder.
Right.
He's like hanging out in his formal dining room. He's
like a tie doing that.
He's just like, this is what he does
wearing
on the weekends.
A button-down shirt, and he's like, check out my guitar.
Yeah.
Fucking shit goes wild, man. It's
actually, it's pretty awesome.
Mid-tier management at a box factory.
He's going to sue us for like not using...
Dude, we respect your hustle. Just, I would like to say, I respect that hustle.
Yes, exactly.
Who else has the confidence to wear khakis?
Like,
a
light
up guitar.
Have
you been to Retrofret recently? I went to a Christmas party and there was quite a khaki contingent there. Alright.
Khaki contingent, that's a good
that's pretty good,
right
there. That is definitely
I will say the food was spectacular, as was the music.
Oh, thank you.
The music was really great. But,
too much khaki?
Bill Kirchin.
Bill Kirchin was all the time in the 80s.
Bill Kirchin's awesome.
He was awesome. And then afterwards, after he and, I forget who the violinist was, who was also...
Andy Stein.
Yeah. Was
killer,
magnificent.
Yeah.
Killer.
I work with a lot of violin players, you know, and it's like, usually they believe in safety in numbers, you know, because then you have to figure out which one's playing sharp, right? And, but he was perfectly...
He was
see, I never knew violin players preferred safety in numbers.
Oh, yeah.
So you learn a lot of shit.
Oh, it makes a chorusy sound when I play sharp. I go, you are leaving. You're gone. No check for you.
Wow. You were invited to leave,
the high
sir.
Point was
you,
that
sir,
talking to Bill Kirchin later on after the show, he told me how he went to high school with the Stooges.
Oh, right, you told me that, right? That's wild.
Isn't
Imagine that conversation.
That's what I was like. I live for conversations like this. And he goes, in fact, I went to their first ever show. And I went like, you know, 100 people have told me that they went to that first show.
And there were six people there.
You're the only person that I would believe.
Right. Yeah.
He goes, yeah, the show with the vacuum cleaner. And I'm like, you win.
You win.
Can you tell the vacuum cleaner, sir?
Well, they were using a vacuum cleaner as a musical instrument. Right?
That's story.
By sticking a mic down the hose while it's on it. Bringing the mic up and down.
It's like when Frank Zappa played a bicycle.
Yeah. They used a blender. There's, you know, kitchen implements.
Jack Benny freaking out.
Greatest clip.
Wow. Yeah, that is pretty ridiculous.
There you go.
What's the Jack
suit?
We were talking
Zappa wearing a suit, playing a bicycle.
I remember something.
Yeah, every part of it is weird. Like seeing Zappa in a suit, like that's
right.
Like he could have.
We were just listening to Frank Zappa before you got here.
Who needs guitars? Let's just start playing random objects.
Right.
So I said,
I'm just gonna start a store.
I say, bring back the musical guitars.
Right. We sell anything except guitars.
Old vacuum cleaners, spike spokes.
Yes.
That thing is ridiculous, but I would be a liar if I said I didn't like it.
It's d'amazing. A word that I've trademarked.
Oh, like
wow, that's really good.
D'amazing.
Boy, that captures
so
that
it's
sense
both
perfectly.
Insane and amazing.
Yeah,
at the same
it's stupid and
just
awesome.
For a moment.
Yeah.
I wanted to show you guys the guitar James is building.
Amazing. I'm definitely using that. I don't know if I have to pay a royalty somewhere.
Have it.
Or what?
D'amazing.
That's so perfect.
Check this out.
Oh, that came out great.
So Cobra's what James Carbonetti is building this. This was our guitar we came up with together. It's called a Golden Road guitar. It's been on every podcast. It was originally a block of wood.
Yep.
And then it became something that looked like a guitar.
Yeah.
Now it's almost a guitar. It doesn't have pickups. Well, it has pickups, but they don't work.
Yeah.
Right.
And it has a finish that needs to be buffed out.
How Cobra is
that? Someday it'll be a real guitar.
Look at the stingers.
Wow, look at that,
I love that. So we saw Stromberg, and we stole it from Stromberg had side stinger.
It's like a British
so we're like, I sent the picture, we were in Lark Street Music, and I saw the side stingers, I sent to the Cobra. He's like, oh my god, we're putting side stingers on everything from now on.
I love it.
Because he was doing these kind of stingers, but side stingers.
So good.
Yes.
I would have never thought of that. Wow. Now it looks kind of like almost like
it's
a superhero.
It's like taking it to the max right there.
That's a lot of stingers.
What front did you put the side stinger?
That's a good question.
Looks
like the sixth.
Yeah.
The sixth.
How Cobra is that?
I'm not going to bust the solo on the sixth fret.
One,
cool.
Fret.
I got a side
player. B flat,
baby. Yeah, I got to ask him why the sixth fret.
B flat to the horn player.
Yes, thank you. I was going to say, don't mess with a B flat. I played the saxophone.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be my B flat.
I love B flat.
I'd be like,
first came out.
This one's a B flat, right? Awesome.
Yeah,
that's the most woman-looking
dish card.
It looks like a woman.
Yeah, very
it kind of does. It's very
like a very flat wooden woman.
No, tight waist. It's very like 40s tight waist.
Big wait, waist. A woman.
Well, it's supposed to be like parts of Midas, part Paul Bigsby, part D'Angelico.
Yeah, there you go.
And there's a fourth. What was his fourth?
There's a bunch of dead guys who were looking down, going, "Don't put my
No, what are his four favorite builders? It's Zamitis, Bigsby, John D'Angelico, and someone
John
else.
D'Angelico.
John would be going, no.
Yeah, no.
John,
no.
I don't know.
But you can see D'Angelico with
like
it, certainly in these
of
things.
Influences, though. He's got a lot of different people.
All, that's all D'Angelico. But this started, the carve of his top
he's,
is starting to look like, well, that's my D'Angelico.
Around enough guitars.
He based this on Earth on that
song.
On the back of this guitar.
Yeah. Nice strap profile.
Yeah, I love the strap button. It's like Eddie Van Halen.
This is taking the D'Angelico hook to like
right.
a whole other level.
But look at the back of this D'Angelico hook.
Turn
this one over.
Fly
right.
it out over
well,
the
this is supposed to be that sunburst, just with a little more red.
Did he paint that?
Mm-hmm. He just painted it the other day.
Was it breaking?
No.
No, no, good for him.
He graduated from this break.
It's
a really nice sunburst. He based it on the back of this. He's just like, I'm going to make it a little more yellow in the front and a little more red.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
But it's really nice, right?
Because
these were supposed to be gold, because they're called Golden Road guitars. They're supposed to. I have a 54 gold top that we all love. So we were like, well, like let's make a Carbonetti guitar based on my gold top. It doesn't have to look like it. It just has to have the same kind of feel, you know. So I said, just go build that guitar now, you know. And then in conversations, it turned. And this one was so flamey. We're like, you can't. It's a Intonator World wraparound.
Who made it, Schroeder?
Don't know.
It might be. Favorite.
I don't think it's Jason Schroeder's. Do you know who?
Look how skinny
you know
it
is.
Oh,
it
is thin. And it sounds amazing. It has no pickups, but you can hear it acoustically.
I think it's aluminum.
Yeah.
Yeah, aluminum's good.
The wood came from Greenwood Cemetery right up here.
Yeah, that's super creepy. Neat. Isn't
that creepy? We have a whole other one.
I know, it's creepy, right?
Maybe it's another one that's ours now.
Yeah,
this dead.
We might have put human juice in there.
We skid over here.
20 years ago today.
Maybe Ronnie is in this guitar.
Ronnie, are you in there?
Are you there?
Ronnie's coming
up. Guitar, yeah.
Not
but that's not a guitar for a guitar that's never really been played.
Is it chambered at all? Body chambered?
It's all solid.
Well, that's a solid body guitar. And you're telling me about
it's not. Exactly. Look how nice the, sound, the back is. It hasn't been buffed out yet.
Filler in there?
No, he doesn't believe with filler. He's that guy.
He sands it real smooth.
You're seeing all the secret inside shit. But.
I would.
I like that.
I do. Too.
For guard points. Yeah. So it looks like the old vintage guitar.
That's where the worms go to live.
But it was. We have another one back there. It's not quite. But they were supposed to be gold tops. But this one was too flamey to paint gold.
Yeah,
so
they fill up with
sunburst. And like, what an excellent match
that's
that is.
That's why they fill the pores.
Well, on the first podcast we showed it, it was a block of wood, and the gold they had split down the middle, and it turns into that. That's kind of cool. So you could make a video of this starting out as a big block of wood,
and then when you spray it on top, eventually,
and this wood came from.
Oh my God! Put that on YouTube.
It's going to go.
Eat that
way through this. Totally.
That's like ASMR for your eyes. Watching that turn into art.
I know what that is actually. Someone just showed me that. ASMR, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Someone just showed me what that is.
But people like it poor. See,
I mean, I don't really get. I just like do it for me.
As an adult, it just seems kind of odd. But
I agree with him.
Weird that you just said that. So just someone just turned me up with that.
I like
those before. Kid watches it,
you know? Yeah, like, I mean, you can
way
skip a stop.
But it's like guitar or horn or whatever.
3 days,
you know, guitar.
You know, load it up, you wait for it to dry, you scrape the stuff off.
That's what these are all about. It's mostly I deal with guitar builders, so you get a lot of this kind of stuff. Like Josh just bought some guitars you just did.
Oh yeah, you want me to grab those?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's.
All right.
Let's do this.
Yeah,
thing.
Yes.
We're playing
let's
with guitars.
It. All right.
Okay. Okay.
You
okay.
Put his money away.
Woo!
Let me move my
clothes.
We're having fun with guitars here today.
That's what I say.
I think that's what we were supposed to be.
What's the point otherwise?
Yeah, exactly. Guitars are supposed to be fun.
Are you pausing that?
No, we never pause.
You never pause.
Well, unless something goes drastic.
Now we're talking my language here. We have solid body guitars made out of the right wood.
Oh, that's that guitar you wanted to see. So there it is.
Yeah.
This is yours.
Let me take that. Let me help you with that.
You got coffee? Where'd you get coffee?
There's something in the other.
Yeah, I want coffee.
Oh, how do you like it?
Black.
Just black?
Okay. Now we're gonna go.
Awesome.
We're gonna
get towels and stuff in there.
Yeah, we're
okay.
Gonna, I just don't want
it. It's going to find like vintage towels.
Oh, duh.
Throwing them away.
I'm
not this dude.
That's been with the guitar forever.
This is actually like Steve's scarf. It just was too. I didn't like the way it was moving in
trying
the case.
Trying to give the guy a gift. Here's gift number two.
Oh, shit. Good podcast day. Okay. Oh, wow. Can we zoom in on that?
Yeah.
They were made for Walter Becker.
Made by the custom shop at Seymour Duncan by MJ for Becker, and I will give you the backstory on this, you know.
He would say,
what can you do that's different?
They're humbucker size Alnico pickups.
Right, slug pickups, like in the neck pickup of a 55 Les Paul custom.
Ugh, I love those.
You can pull them out and you can show the back. You need to show them. This is a stupid mounts day.
Oh, I know the back looks like that. Yeah, right.
Stupid mounts.
You know, it's like Rube Goldberg adjustments of magnets. Right.
Right. It looks. I've
look
seen
at,
this.
Look,
right.
Look at the back. Right.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's sort of like
what we like to think of as wonderfully inefficient.
Yes. Well, not actually. They're very
it's a good
efficient,
name for a
band
too.
It's like if you like working on watches, you'll love working on these. You know, because like. Once you turn
it
too
if you
much
like,
one way and that spring shoots out,
I've
wow.
seen this because I had to pick up
really,
the Black
Beauty
go dead and I had to go deal with it.
Oh God, that is so
my friend had to rewind this thing
and,
for me.
And I don't know how many people out in podcast land know MJ, right, at Seymour Duncan, but she's a wonderful woman and she does insanely good work, but
very
that is
detailed.
An awful lot of little, that's like watchmaking.
Totally.
Right.
I never knew what these look
it
like.
It just looks
the one
so
in my
tedious.
Black Beauty
well, look
died.
At the, if you look at the back of the of those Diarmans, it's the same one.
Yeah.
That's what the second I saw
it.
It's
like
wow, looks like a Black Beauty
yeah.
pickup.
Yeah, yeah.
What were they?
I love the sound of these pickups.
Yeah.
Well, they definitely
you're actually going to put that in the guitar?
that wire is so neatly looped and such a precise length. You always see the wire just flip-flopping.
You needed to get something that has his DNA all over it. And now you've got two things that are just like, you could scrape his DNA and clone your own Becker. Think about that.
My wife still
be like having a talking plant that yelled at you all the time.
My wife still talks about waking up in the morning
hey,
coming
God, wake up!
And finding Walter in her kitchen. She's like, it's Walter Becker, right?
Hi.
He's making coffee. Yeah.
Hey, wake up.
That would
take
a really long time because you'd get a baby first, so you would just have an unexplained child.
Yeah, like,
he would just start yelling from the time that, you know.
Somehow he'd start looking at
Hey, Dad! Hey, Dad!
It's like a group situation.
Let's call Han up.
Yeah, he would just call me up. He's like, I'm on your website now. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'm looking at this guitar. Is that a good guitar? I'm like, yeah. He's like, can you bring that to the city tomorrow? I'm like, sure. And he's like, how about this one? Is that one good? I was, yeah. Can you bring that too? Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
And what about this guitar? Is that a nice one? Yeah. Bring that too and some other shit I might like.
Right.
And then I'd go down there, he'd be like, come down like 2:00. I'd be like, okay. And I'd get down there and Bob would be there. And I'd be like, where's Walter? Oh, he's still sleeping.
Yeah. He'll be here around 8:00.
He'll be here in like an hour. And then like, no, he'll be here like 8:00. I'd be like, I got to split.
No, eight days from now.
He would be there every day. At one point, I spent more time at SIR than anybody who worked there.
Oh, totally.
I did 31 days straight there. And like he would say, I go, what time are you coming down? He'd go like, I need
2:00.
You to be there by 2:00.
It's always 2:00. And I'd get there at 2:00.
Right.
He's still sleeping.
Right. And then I'd call his wife up and go, where is he? Go, oh, he's asleep. He's up all night. I'm like, oh, here we go. Right? So he'd show up around 7:00, right? And then, like, they would try to kick him out. We had to close at midnight. And then he'd go, like, well, how much money does it cost for you to stay open?
Yeah, what do you make?
Right? And, like, he would just, like, he would bribe the, you know, the guys to stay later. Yeah. And then what he would do is then he would get a car service to send them home wherever they were. It would be like the sun be coming up and shit when we'd be on that. He goes, where do you guys live? They go, oh, we're out, you know, in Greenpoint. He goes, like, how are you getting there? He goes, I'm gonna take the subway. He goes, nobody takes the subway this time of day. Bob, get him a car. So it's like, no, I can't have you people doing that, you know. Get him a car, right? We send them home. We send these guys home. They spend most of the time in the lounge asleep, you know? And it's just like, just close everything up. And just like, but you got to stay here to set the alarm when we leave, right? So then the bigwigs up in Midtown, they heard about it and they said like, you know, we're going to bill him. And I'm like, hey, Walter, they're going to bill you. He goes, go the fuck ahead. Go ahead. I don't give a fuck, you know? So I get these bills, and they go into the accountant, and the accountant would call up and say, like,
what the fuck?
You guys are there all day and all night? I went, yep. She goes, these are all legit? I look at them and go, yep. She goes, okay.
Hey.
All right. We should ask them to give you a break. I go, they are giving us a break. They could be charging us $100 an hour, but they don't. They're charging us $30 an hour. You know? Oh,
that's nothing.
And we pay their guys and send them home. You know? She goes, yeah, it's just... It's all part of the process, isn't it?
I mean, how did he get so many guitars? A lot of days like that.
Yeah.
How many times did he had me come all the way to the city once. He's like, I'm going to buy all these guitars except this one. I'm not going to take this one. I was like, all right, cool. I'll come get it tomorrow. I drive all over the city. We sit down.
I changed my mind.
He goes, I'm going to give you this guitar back. He goes, let me just play it. He's like, why am I giving you this guitar back? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, it's a good guitar. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'll just keep it. I was like, all right, cool.
Wait, what?
How about the one time I had 2 Han guitars?
Oh, wait. I got a Han story for you.
I bring him the wrong one.
Right. Ah, that's even better.
So I go, oh, crap. I seriously tried to not mix them up. I mixed them up. I drive all the way to the city. I drop off the wrong one. So I said, oh, I'll drive in tomorrow morning and drop off the other one. I bring him the other one. And
he's
I was
like,
going to pick up the other one.
He's
like, oh, no, I'll just take that one also.
So we're up at, we're doing a Dan residency at the Capitol Theater. Right, and he goes, call Han, tell him I have to bring some guitars, right? So Chio, shows up with a dozen guitars. And you know, like he goes, can you come help? I got a dozen guitars. I'm like, you brought a dozen guitars?
I wanted to show him all this
stuff.
That was with the picture with him with the guitars all over him?
Yeah. So he goes, and this is, of course, after soundcheck, you know, it's like, he's just got all of these guitars. And Chio goes, did you find one you like? He goes, no, not really. So he goes, oh, so I'll pack them up. He goes,
I'll just take them.
No, you're not taking these. Bob, get security. He's not leaving with any of these, right? And then Gio's going, but that's for...
I don't have any guitars.
That's for... Those are three of them are customer guitars. He goes, you should know better by now. Not to bring me guitars I can't buy.
Right.
You're just going to have to tell them and say...
Sorry, I can have to make you one.
Yeah, I took your guitar.
So he bought all 12
of them. He did it to me. Remember, he was at my place. I had a flying V like this.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is nice. I'm like, yeah, it's my guitar. And then all of a sudden, it's not around anymore. He'd put it in the car.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll have one built for you. He's like, oh no, I got one. Gotta go.
Himself?
He just took it.
He just took it.
Wow.
That was disgusting.
Hilarious.
He just having it. Like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just go, and he played it every Steely Dan show ever.
Yeah, and the his wife still has that beat.
That was you would hear that guitar coming up. He played it in Hey 19,
really,
and that when he switched to that guitar, it sounded different. It had
that
magic.
Was really
in it.
Great,
you know. Like, but he used it every Steely when he did the big rap, and he would say, "Don't you like my guitar?"
All these guys who bought the other V's would go, "That's the one he played on stage." I'm like,
"No, nope. That was my guitar. And he stole."
That's hilarious. Okay,
did he ever do anything? He never compensated you, like?
Oh no,
yeah, he didn't care about the money. Okay. The money.
I'm
was,
like, did he just take
no,
your
he
guitar?
He didn't care. The money was some other thing. He never asked.
Sure.
If the guitar was too expensive, he wouldn't buy it. But he never asked you for a discount because I would always be like, Bob,
no,
should I give him a discount? No.
He never did a retro.
Just send an invoice.
He didn't care.
You know, it wasn't about the money. He just didn't want to have to wait for me to build him one. He wasn't having that. He was having that guitar.
He didn't care about...
If it was too expensive, he wouldn't buy it.
He would care. He did care, but like, he would call Retrofret too. He always wanted to talk to me about Japanese guitars.
Yeah.
Because
you know about them.
If it had four pickups, you had to have it.
I'm super
he had a lot of
into some Japanese guitars and Japanese guitar history, and we'd had a few conversations about it, so we'd get different things. We had a Telstar. The only question you'd ask, is it good?
Yeah, is that a good guitar? Yeah.
Like,
I'll take it.
That's like, so
is this a good guitar?
The only question you'd ever ask about a guitar. Because
you knew if
good?
It was a shitty guitar, you wouldn't say it was good. Because if you did that to him and he got it, he's like, this guitar's terrible. I'm
then
like,
you're,
I wouldn't,
you're
done.
You're done.
No, and
you're,
there were times where I thought something was cool, and then he'd come and he'd be like, nah.
Cool's different. You know, if he asked you if it's a good guitar,
well, you get
and you sent him something.
Level of
well,
kind
it's all subjective.
Of like
yeah.
the Wild West of guitars.
Yeah.
Good and cool are not necessarily the same.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
He asked me if it was a good guitar, and if it was cool. Cool's different. Those Japanese guitars are cool.
Oh, yeah.
That was good guitar.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was like we were, you know, like while we were talking about that.
Right. Well,
you know,
it's a pretty esoteric
in the context
thing, right.
of this, of that, how do I explain this? It compares to itself.
Right.
Right. Is it good or cool?
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is both.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. What do you think of the neck on that thing?
Killing.
Great, right? Give this one a shot.
Oh, I don't want to touch them.
Explorer.
They're Carina. They're pretty.
Play that
so
one.
These are Protocaster big rollers.
I'm not a V person. And I had a bunch of them, and I don't bond with them for some reason.
Fine V's?
You can't sit there
on. But these are not.
Oh, yes, you can.
These are comfortable.
Not comfortable, in my opinion.
So these are guitars. These were Gibson guitars.
You have to play them.
Gibson Custom Shop guitars.
Well, that's the thing.
Josh recarves the neck.
I think that's a comfortable
feel right.
way to sit.
Strips of finish. Shoots are nice old finish. The pickups are throwbacks, which are killing. To the throwback people, you guys make amazing pickups.
Yeah, thank you, throwback.
Those are amazing. They have 50s Gibson pickup winding machines. The throwback people, a bunch of them.
Okay.
So yeah, the throwback stuff sounds awesome.
These
really
are amazing pickups. Whoa. Yeah, they have the machines and they have the know-how. Really nice guys. They're in like Michigan or something.
Yeah, Kalamazoo.
Yes,
yeah, they're out there.
Definitely, like. This one's getting pretty close. This one looks...
But this is Josh's work, because it wasn't like that
good.
Before.
Nice.
Yeah, it's, you know,
smacker. Give her a good.
Oh, let's have it.
This looks pretty good. No, you know, like if you're looking, if you're
right, if you don't have the money for a real,
is it original? Is it original?
How many? How many real explorers have you held?
None.
Fail.
But you know what? You know what someone told me?
I've definitely held ones that have been refinished, and you know that because it does. No, that's not true. We did have one. We did have one. And I know it was real because it had the original case.
Take that. Thanks, sir.
Yes, sir. But someone told me there's only 13 real explorers.
I've seen this finish.
No, there's more than that.
This finish exists, not just. It ages, you know, but not this finish.
Yeah, for sure.
I've seen this finish without seeing it specifically on an explorer.
Oh, sure.
Right. There aren't that many real explorers.
Which is what I'm really...
There's
well,
that
that's because there are.
There's
there
more
than
one real explorer.
There's
100
bees. Oh, right.
Yeah, there are more bees than explorers.
Because,
sure.
Yeah,
there's way more bees.
Because they like to hang them in the store window and people go, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
How futuristic.
Yeah, check this thing.
How much is that? Oh, that's $350.
Have you seen any of the Nacho casters?
I have, yeah.
Those are...
Yeah, I had a chance to meet Nacho. He's a real nice guy.
Oh, yeah, you hung out.
Talk
about these,
actually.
Oh,
yeah,
he actually named one of his guitar Shira.
These are Mike's hot
right? Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You seen these new ones?
No,
the new Project 58. You have one of these, huh?
One of
the Carino
finish out there.
Right. Oh, sure, yeah.
With fretwork by Chio Han.
Right. That was a whole thing at that time.
Was a whole
thing. Right. But these we have made by our friend in Canada.
Because
by Hotbin. And Josh shoots the finish and assembles them.
Yeah, carves the neck.
So they're juniors.
Assemble these things and
something so cool.
These are great, simple guitars.
Let's call juniors.
And yes,
these are great neck carves
the
too.
The Ray Davies.
You carve these necks. Right?
So
yes,
that feels great.
What you should do one day? You should go to Chattanooga.
Okay.
To the Songbird Museum.
We go.
Right? I will hook you up.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And I will have them take you into the vault, right? And you can play real Carina V's and real Carina Explorers.
That's what I want to see.
So you can look
I've
at them, smell them, and because they have a certain kind of smell too. And
well, Mojo told me Peter smells the inside of Telly's. He could tell in 2 seconds.
We smell it all.
Right.
No. We smell it all.
Yeah, I have a crappy sense of smell. So do you, right? I have like no sense of smell at all.
Me too.
And Bob has the same thing. It's called something.
Like, I
virtually no sense of smell. I can go through the garbage, doesn't bother me. Like, it happened the other day. My wife thought she threw away her Apple Watch and she throws it in the garbage.
She's like Doug,
no
get
problem.
In here.
She opened up, she started throwing up. I opened it up, like, no problem.
Diving in.
It's one of the few skills I have that other people don't have.
Yeah, this is not the avenue.
But Dan would go too. He's like, smell this. I was like, I don't really have a sense of smell.
I mean,
like,
there's just certain things you can't.
That smell different, right?
Fake. You can't fake the way 50 years of smoking cigarettes around something smells.
Right.
Yeah, fair
you
enough.
You can't fake the way it smells when lacquer ages.
Do this to nitro, right? I can smell nitro.
Right. Nitro
but,
ages,
but
right?
The thing is,
well, that,
is that,
yeah, that one's a given.
How
but
many
also
people just know what something that's been a smoky environment for 50 years smells
well,
like?
Well, all guitars used to smell like that.
I
did it. I sure did it.
You know, you just have to base it on your own. We were talking before, you know, as I went on, I learned more and more about guitars just by having more and more guitars in my hand, smelling more things, seeing more things, seeing the way it goes more times, right?
Hey, I'm going to give you a little insight here.
Yeah.
On a lot of explorers...
Yes, I love this. Tell me.
Right? On a lot of explorers, the edge of this tuning peg...
goes off. I've seen that. Right.
Right,
and
okay.
they file it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Because... this is a Fender style.
Sure, six in line.
You know,
right. Yeah.
When in 58, there are no six on the head. Are there any six on a side?
Gibsons at that
Gibsons?
Point?
Gibson,
no. The Trini Lopez wasn't out yet.
No, yeah, most
no.
things weren't out yet. They're Les Pauls were out.
It was like, you know, this was like uncharted territory.
There was no headstock like that, right?
No, definitely not. But you'll see them
from
Gibson
off
right.
on a lot of them.
That's true. I've seen that hang off thing. Or I read it in a book or something. I know about that. Somehow.
I think they went whole hog when they got Epiphone and started making all those six in line headstock Epiphones like that.
Well, that was because
that was
Fender
the
was out selling.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
They were just trying
and
to appeal to Fender.
When you really think about it, right, tuning a guitar like this is easier than going bip,
sure.
bip, bip.
Yeah.
That's definitely true, especially with a string winder. You know, like, doing a string winder and this side sucks.
Like, ha ha, look at me. And you're like,
you would have ruined the cornet when they made it.
That's very interesting. No one's ever pointed that out to me before, and I am I am gonna look for that now. Yeah. I know for a fact.
Can you grab the cornet that's out there?
That if I were to ever encounter what someone presents to me as an explorer, that I should definitely
look for that.
Look for the case. Look at the case, because these cases are impossible
to
make and find.
Well, you can make them, but you won't.
But
they
to
won't,
make them right
exact.
And make them
you can't
hold.
Get the same covering.
Yeah.
You can make them.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
The exact shape and the exact
I have a 70s Explorer case out there.
So and it would have come with a case.
Yeah.
They're pretty rare.
Yellow
case,
inside.
I get very... I'm supposed to be dubious. I know that for a fact.
But I got it when I was at Chelsea because Les made me your Explorer. And I was like, oh, can I take this case? And he was like, sure. It fits only the Explorer.
Square corners or round corners?
I don't know.
Bust it out, baby!
Can you also grab the Explorer case?
This is pretty darn cool, I gotta tell you.
It's a neat guitar, right?
The cornet? Did we lose it?
Yeah, I like the necks on both of these.
Oh no, it's right there.
How many
I was like, shit, we lost the guitar already.
Stash of real explorers, take me there.
Sorry about that.
Actually,
we did not lose it. We were just gonna look at the case, yeah.
Okay, it's open.
Yeah.
Oops.
There's,
70s Explorer case. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one thing that could fit in it.
Yes.
Guitar.
Purple.
There's anything in it.
Interesting.
Oh, wow. Interesting
sponge. This is how I used to humidify everything.
Yeah.
Before they made humidifiers, I made these.
Sponge in a plastic bag.
There was an article in Vintage Guitar that taught you how to make this. You would get like those
soaked
things.
Why would you want to humidify a solid body guitar?
Yeah, that's...
It probably came from an acoustic, but somehow wound up in here.
The front ends were sticking out.
Whoa! Princess over here. Mazda's kicking it old school like I was.
You know what? This is one thing that if there's one thing I'd like to impart upon the guitar playing universe.
Go through the cases.
Especially acoustic guitars.
I have to use them for like
cracks. It doesn't really
cracks.
Matter what kind of
so
humidifier
they,
you have.
You guys humidify
that
some cracks.
Humidify your guitars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I always did this. Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. You can get the fanciest one.
Awesome. And make sure to poke holes.
$70
exactly.
humidifier.
Yeah.
You can get a sponge in a bag. Here's the thing. Your
that
sponge in a bag will do better if you're refilling it often.
Every couple days.
Yeah, then you know your fanciest
right.
humidification system. If you don't,
I did that
it.
For years, and I always had vintage guitars, even when I was young. And that's how you did it. There was no damper. No, they didn't come out yet. There was an article on Vintage Guitar that taught you how to make one out of like one of those things you bring soap when you travel.
Yeah,
sure.
Poke
yeah.
holes in that and put a sponge in it.
Exactly.
And I had like 10 of those. I remember going to the store buying those things. They're like, what do you need so many of those things for? I was like,
yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Sure, are you
business.
Making drugs?
Yeah, like, what are you doing with 10 of those? They're like, don't worry about it. So then you're fucking, and I'm poking holes in them with a screwdriver.
Yeah.
And I had them in every acoustic guitar case. You know,
sure.
Like,
so but yeah, but you used it. You used it.
Someone
that's
tipped me to that. Or just maybe a guitar collapsed on me and that was why. But
thing.
I to this day, every winter, I'm like, do you even fire your guitars? They're like, no. I'm like, that's why your guitar looks like this. Electric guitars even too. People are like, my guitar is pretty good. I'm like, do you humidify it?
Yeah.
No. Oh. Well, that's why your fret ends are popping out.
Yeah.
That's why you're about to spend $150.
Yeah.
You know, where a sponge costs
it's
10 cents.
It's literally the simplest thing. It's the one thing, if I can impart this.
It's true. Tell them.
Humidify.
Your guitars.
Your acoustic instruments.
She knows.
If you have a piano at home, put a humidifier under it. Do you have a ukulele? Get a little humidifier. Do you have a mandolin? Get yourself a humidifier.
Do.
You have an acoustic guitar? You spent all that money on your fancy new acoustic guitar? Maybe it's even a vintage acoustic guitar? Especially the nice ones. Especially the nice ones. The pressed wood, not gonna crack as fast as something with a natural grain.
Right.
Splits apart. You know, and once it splits, that's it. Once a pickle, never a cucumber again. Humidify your guitars, people.
Ooh, very
humidify
good. Pickle.
We should cut that off and make
nice
a
nice callback.
Do it. Humidify.
That was very good.
If I can stand for one thing, it's that.
That was testifying.
So I have a podcast. You were learning shit.
Seen a lot of broken guitars.
Cornet.
Since I don't have any acoustic
we also
guitars,
make these.
I don't care.
I love that early 60s 303.
So these are satellite cornets. Our friend Adam, who owns Satellite Amps,
vibe.
We
well,
build
show
these.
It to the camera. We know what they look like.
They look like cornets.
So show the people.
Yeah, look, it's a cornet.
Yeah,
and we own the name
cornets.
Cornet. So we're left with
neat, neat guitars.
There you go.
So it's pretty sweet.
Cornet.
And the necks and bodies are made by a friend of Adam's in California, sent to Josh Ruff, and he does the rest.
Cool.
Beautiful.
I like that you do the checking that goes across, because that is very epiphone.
It's natural checking.
This is real checking.
That's
no razor.
If you see
never
a mahogany guitar with the checking parallel
the other way,
to the grain,
I mean, you.
That's done with Freon.
How did you get it to
start?
Don't say a word!
Magician can't reveal all his secrets.
So you encouraged its own natural behavior instead of.
Don't
like,
say a word, Josh.
Yeah, there's no
proprietary.
That is the checking pattern that you see on this.
Yeah, it's natural.
It looks real, right?
It goes across.
That's
right?
The way it looks, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Josh can do razor check. He's done it to guitars that were not nitro, or it is nitro.
It's awful.
It just feels
awful.
A little different. It looks a little different. He does a great job of it, but this is not done with razor blade. I mean, none of these are.
Sure. No. Okay.
So I don't know if you could really get into there.
You've encouraged it to naturally happen.
Yeah.
You have to talk to it.
Sped up the process.
You have to talk to it, right?
The way it happens in real life.
Right.
Yeah,
but a lot of it's having the real lap.
They get cold.
You can't just get in the old lap.
You bring them into a warm environment.
You need real lap. The right lap.
Faster.
What Gibson calls nitro is not nitro. This is nitro.
Gibson calls a lot of things.
I know, we shit on Gibson all the time on the podcast. But what they call guitars aren't even guitars.
That guy.
They're going to make a video about you.
I know, I'm on their hit list already.
I love hate.
But so is everybody else, so it's not so bad.
Well, you know, I love Gibson guitars.
Me too, I love Gibson.
The best
I play Gibson guitars.
I like Gibson guitars before 68.
But they don't shoot real nitro, they can't. And it could never, it's hard to work with.
Yeah.
You know, they would need a million Joshes in the basement.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Sounds like a weird...
A million Joshes in the basement. Weird. That'd be a fun party. Josh is actually a fun guy. It's like, that would be a great...
That
would be a killing basement.
Yeah. That would be a strange environment.
That would be a wild party.
I'm just really enjoying
it. You would learn a lot about state capitals.
Right? It's very comfortable, yes.
So that isn't it like a Pete Townsend thing where he's holding a flying bee like that?
Yeah, it's his solo album, the first solo album.
He's flying.
Yeah.
Very Pete Townsend.
Yeah, exactly. He's like,
maybe that's what they were for.
It's quiet, Pete, sleep.
Yeah, they are virtually impossible to sit playing down.
Yeah, you gotta have like.
There's this weird thing, right? Well, someone made the kickstand.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about how to design
it. But then it looks stupid.
Oh yeah. It has to be able to tuck away. You gotta have something that can.
Well, there was like the Guild guitar that came out of the back, but it never works right, so they all have broken headstocks.
Yes.
Like, look, my guitar's standing up by itself! Crash!
Oh, God!
Is that the Jet?
The thing Muddy Waters had, on the cover of Electric Mud. And the good guitars. They made a version without the kickstand also. There's one with the kickstand, one without the kickstand.
I've only ever had them with the kickstand.
They made them without it.
I believe you, I just haven't, I've only seen one with it.
Because I don't think Muddy Waters had a kickstand.
Sorry.
Daniel, the fuck?
That's it.
We're busy here.
we're talking kickstands.
Listen, if you ever had experience with manufacturers, right, all of a sudden it's like, hey, how come there's a batch that has no kickstand?
Really?
We forgot.
We have a what now?
Paint them and ship them.
Right.
That's why you see SGs in that color.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, Gibson.
I said Polaris white. That's not Polaris white. Do I have to strip them? No, strip them.
No, just get out of
here. That's why you find black.
That's why you never see a TV yellow SG standard or custom.
Didn't someone just have one? Oh, it's SG Junior.
Junior.
Rumble Seat had one.
Yeah,
just
juniors
recently.
And specials. You'll see because they did like a batch of 20 of each.
TV yellow.
Or, yeah.
SG Junior.
And until the line guy went. What the fuck is
what the fuck are you doing? Right.
It says white.
That's a $2 color.
That's white for TV. Hey, this is the 60s. We have color TV now. You know? Should we repaint them? Ship them.
Yeah.
Just ship them.
Yeah,
but you know, that's why you find black guitars everywhere.
That's why you find guitars. I mean,
right,
I saw.
Shoot over that thing and get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I saw ES330s that had no F holes.
What?
Oh, that was...
Whoa! Yeah.
Wait, was it painted on like the Grinch?
No. And I was at a music store in Belleville, New Jersey. This is.
You saw this in person?
Oh, yeah. And I said to the sales guy, these guitars have new F-holes. And he said, like, yeah, Gibson. Right, there you go. What do you expect?
That's what I said.
What year was that?
That is bonkers.
Around the same time, 60s... Same time they made the one that had the rosewood Brazilian rosewood top the crest
yeah,
what's the crest?
The crest had a Brazilian rosewood top, which
immediately
warped and cracked.
It's pretty.
It's
very pretty.
It's an electric guitar.
Yeah.
I never heard of it.
It's like a 330.
with a Brazilian rosewood top?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like fancy, fancy appointments all over the place.
I've never even heard of that. Have you heard of that?
I believe it does.
I never even heard of that.
Got a nice tailpiece.
How many did they make?
It's like a late 60s guitar, right?
Gibson Crest.
Yeah,
the Crest. I've never even heard of that.
It's
wait,
very
does it
strange.
Have the flute? On the neck yet, or no? Do they make any
68, no, wouldn't have a balloon.
How, like,
it
how
comes
they, were
in
they
around
70. Were they down
which
like
is
70?
Not actually a bad
I
thing.
Think it
I don't
might
know
have
why.
Only been a couple
oh, just
years.
The 1 year?
Yeah, I've never even heard of that.
How many guitars, how many headstock cracks have you seen on guitars with volutes?
A lot.
A lot.
Really?
Yeah.
So many.
That's because they were sold to lame people.
Well, those.
No, it's because the volute doesn't fit.
The volute didn't work. Right.
Well, it is. It doesn't fit in the case right.
Well, they say they put it in the wrong place.
Okay,
I've heard that.
Well, it is good and ugly, though, so you at least get that.
Because someone else had the volute, like a guild's had volute. Right.
Which is worse, a volute or a scarf joint?
Oh, boy, that is
Let's
tricky.
Let's ponder that.
Yeah, damn,
ouch.
Yeah, you stopped the room with that.
Volutes are bad.
Volutes are bad. Because solve the problem that it's...
That it's for, and it makes
four.
Your guitar suck.
Yeah, and they're gross.
They're just
so
gross. They make me angry.
Scarf joint?
No, I mean, scarf joints.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, fair enough.
Come on.
I didn't feel like saying scarf
joint. I'm not good enough to make an angled headstock, so we'll just
or not. It's too cheap.
Yeah, but that's a solution at least.
Yeah, I can use a cheaper
but Martin's had some kind of volute, but their volute was fine. It was a little diamond.
That's
oh, the
enough.
Diamond is nice.
It wasn't a big ski slope thing in the middle of your fucking neck.
Right, it's not a goiter on the back.
I would like to make my understanding of the problem and what they were trying to solve known. So, like, Gibson would like put their they put their headstock onto the neck, right? And it wasn't fit super well. It was not cut.
I can hear
precision.
The lawyers gearing up now.
Yeah, give me a suit again.
And they'd you know, squirt a whole bunch of glue in there and make it work.
Oh,
they'd like
they hate you.
Moss is nodding his head back then, by the way.
Moss, get out of here.
And so
get rid
you know,
of the stupid case.
They fit it together, but obviously that's like the thinnest point on the guitar.
Get that out of here.
And it's again like you're looking at an SG that's a terribly beating guitar, right?
Wow.
So it's gonna pitch forward. It's gonna flop. It's already prone to falling over because of the weight. Because of
the
weight distribution on
the
guitar.
Well, Miles, what do you think of Gibson volutes break still, right?
And so instead of making
the
headstock more precise to hit the neck, which would have solved that balance
no matter what.
The guitar, instead of doing that, they put an extra little volute, like this lip on the back of the guitar headstock. And yeah, it makes it a little thicker, but it doesn't solve the real like reason why they all break the same way. They all break in
that little
smile
V, right.
line, right? Because that's the line of where the headstock met up. But that's actually the headstock is manufactured and comes to you know comes with that
I've seen that
tapered
thing.
In right and it
crest
sets in
right?
into that
yeah.
there.
Crest.
They try to.
It looks like an ES150D
or
something.
Work there.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's kind of. It's not
well,
quite...
Kind of most drinking. Of them, most
it's
of them,
so
the tops,
are
all screwed.
So if you got what you inevitably are going to do because it's a badly, not
well, this
badly,
one, this
it's not
got everything.
A
it's got all the
evenly weighted guitar.
Yeah.
The headstock's got a lot of weight on it.
Right,
it'll pitch over and boom.
That's that.
It's like your weakest
all
spot.
The paperwork.
So they're not, they never fix the
nobody wanted
problem.
It.
That's the thing. That's the thing about the flute. It doesn't actually do what it's supposed to do.
The key?
Right. Well, Moss will tell you what. I mean, you fixed enough of those guitars.
Oh, yeah.
You've
no
got
a
little crest there.
Do you agree
there?
With my assessment?
No
I am
sure,
not
sure.
A
waffle back
68,
69.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that the thing?
Well,
they're pretty.
When they're glued, it depends on what kind of glue you use. It'll be stiffer and it'll be a little bit treblier.
Yeah. Well, didn't everyone say once you fix your headstock, like it sounds better?
Oh, when
it does, right?
Who says that?
I say
it. It's true.
It's
definitely true.
Because even...
Definitely true.
I've never heard that.
One
really?
Time, yeah, I've never heard that.
No,
it's true.
Because I've done it so many of them. In the 90s, so many people play Les Paul because of Guns N' Roses.
And
you
good.
Know, they get wasted. So they took off the bass player
wasted.
Or someone trips over the fucking line.
Yeah.
Right? Then
stumbles the thing out of the
stand. So every week I had a couple Les Pauls. And I would only charge like $100 or something.
Yeah.
Just epoxy them. But then
they sound
those
better.
Guys come back and say,
this guitar
sounds better.
It just sounds so much better than before.
Because where it was weak, it's now strong. Right? Where the weakest part of the guitar is now the strongest part.
And also mahogany is so porous that
it'll break there again if you knock it over.
I use only like epoxy.
Dang.
And it'll never break in the same place because it'll just break where it's weaker over here.
And the tone, it just... Yeah, happened to my Alembic, too.
Now, Bob has got me.
How many headstock breaks have you seen on a Fender?
One.
A lot.
Oh boy.
Remember the guy?
But not as much as Gibson.
Remember the guy who used to play with Patti Smith?
Who?
Oliver was his name.
Yeah, right.
On Saturday Night Live, tossed the Telecaster.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean...
you could probably find it on YouTube.
Right.
And the headstock broke.
That is
like a Gibson headstock broke.
That's
it broke some other places too.
Throw that it across the to right. break that.
Because Pete Townsend would hit him and the next thing would...
All you have to do with an SG is like...
look at it.
Exactly. I've never... I have never seen a Fender guitar break there.
Yeah. That one time we saw it. It must have hit something right there.
Only a couple.
Listen. Yeah. Listen. Are we to even try... You know, where we took them and just smacked them against concrete.
Oh, yeah.
And what happens is they will crack this way.
Yeah.
Right. So I've never seen that. The only one I ever saw was Ritchie Blackmore's guitar that he hit a TV camera with. And it broke here.
You know what? Yeah. We did the Spike Lee movie.
Because that headstock showed up.
We did Spike Lee movie, and there was a scene where they were throwing it. The girlfriend was supposed to throw the guitar
more and more.
So he wanted 70 straps. The movie took place in the 70s. Like, I need like a dozen 70 straps. We're going to throw them out a window. I was like, why don't we just get Mexican ones that have big headstocks? And he was like, all right, that sounds fine. We'll save you a lot of money. So we got all these Mexican straps with big headstocks. We were making reissues. And the scene didn't happen in the movie where the girlfriend threw the thing out. They just showed the guitar tumbling through space. It was weird. And then Chelsea Guitars was in the movie for a second because then the guy had to go buy a new guitar. But they were throwing these guitars off the roof of a building to try to get them to break.
Couldn't do it.
And they wouldn't. Mexican straps. They're like, woo! It was like a 12-floor building. They're hitting the ground. They call us up. They're like, when we do these guitars won't break, we're like, unscrew the neck a lot and then toss it off and see if that does it. They're like, it did it! It broke!
I kind of have a theory about why the Fenders are like way hardier. Because Leo Fender was like engineer
practical
mind.
Practical guy, right?
Right? He was very practical. Everything that he designed was super practically
and
laid
cheap.
Out.
And it must have to do with the
It's
forward.
Way cheaper to make a guitar with a straight headstock.
Yeah.
Well, that's certainly part of it. It must be the bolt-on thing compared to the set
whereas,
thing.
Like,
to make it out of one piece
Gibson,
of wood.
It's a lot more like...
Yeah, if you drop this way, it's going to break.
Like, it's a lot more like, what's my fantasy of a guitar without... considering the like
if I drop it.
of the guitar.
Right.
So like Gibson is like, what would be cool? Let's put these horns here. Like we'll like
We're a Firebird.
Like, but then you end up with decisions that are not very engineered
like a Firebird.
Like the pickup right at the weakest point or the neck is, you know.
Have
like,
you ever seen
the
Fender ad where they have a Fender neck?
The guy standing on it?
And a 300-pound guy standing on it.
Yes.
You know, yeah, where they have
that makes sense.
What?
Because Brian Monty tells me when he builds a guitar, he builds it, and then he stands on it. Because I was supposed to pick up a guitar from him. I was going to go to Canada and get it. He's like, don't come up, it's not ready. I was like, why? I stood on the neck and it snapped. He's like, you wouldn't have wanted that guitar anyway.
There you go.
He's like, I stand on the neck and make sure it won't break.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but his guitars I've dropped. They don't break.
Nice guitar.
Wow. Mm.
You know, but he said you wouldn't have wanted that guitar anyway. I stood on it, snapped.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. That was his thing, because I was so psyched to get this guitar. You're from a guitar builder. You wait a year and a half. They tell you it's going to be 3 weeks, and it's a year and a half later.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, I'm going to get my guitar. I stood on the neck, and I was like, I thought it was total bullshit. He sent me a picture.
This
is like, we should all be drinking.
It sounds like we've been drinking.
Yeah. We did that in the podcast earlier. We'd be drunk, and by the end, it was all... The first one, I interviewed Daniel, and he was so drunk that it was unusable. For it to be unusable... It's like impossible. He was just muttering fucked up things about people we know. And he was like, dude, I'm really sorry. We can't use any of this. That was podcast number one.
No.
You did it.
It's too early for me to start. I can't.
We would get it done back in the day. That's where all those hat videos came from. But we'll talk about that. All right. That wasn't because we weren't on drugs.
Is that how the hat started talking to you?
That wouldn't happen without drugs, would it?
Drugs.
But drugs. I grew up in the woods.
Alcohol.
Hats talk to people, right? So, anyway, we should probably begin to wrap up. What the fuck happened to Mojo?
Couldn't make it.
Why don't we ask Mojo what happened to Mojo?
Mojo's great on podcasts. Did you see him on the last podcast? Mojo was on fire the last podcast. He offended everybody.
That's
he was
why awesome. I wanted to come to
Mojo has a lot of personality.
Because he scared me.
I love that comment. He might be scared of me, right?
Oh, boy.
That might be true.
Oh, man, you said nothing. Setting up a duel.
Oh, no.
A duel? A duel would involve me being scared of him. I don't think that.
Anyways, we'd just like to thank a few people, if we could.
He's going to watch this.
James Carbonetti was not able to be here today because he's visiting a sick relative.
Trying to stoke the fire.
I'm going to just say a few things, if you don't mind. James Carbonetti was not able to be here today because he has a sick relative. He's in New Hampshire, so he wishes sick relative a speedy recovery. And we missed you, James, of course. And thank you for letting us use your place. And Eric. And Moss, of course. Thank you for being here. Although you're always here. Mm-hmm. We'd like to thank Night Bob for coming out to Sunset Park, Brooklyn.
Yeah, Bob!
Of course, Yuri Goldberg. Awesome. And she'll be back because we didn't quite get to your whole story.
Yeah,
it's interesting and it's awesome, and we didn't get to the whole thing. We got up to
retro.
We're going to do another one, you and Peter, anyway. Yeah. So we'll catch up then. And Josh from Protocaster, of course. We'd like to thank Connor McDowell for helping us with everything.
All right.
There he is. Get shit done. And Daniel Ferry, of course, for filming the thing and editing it.
All right, Daniel.
Fixing all the stupid shit we do. And come to our guitar show is May 2nd this year at the Guitar Show NYC.
Oh, man. Yes. It's going to be awesome.
Be there. Be here.
Brooklyn Guitar Show.
I'm sure we'll have raffles and stuff. So,
and there will be raffles. And there will probably be snacks. So it's going to be pretty awesome. There'll be snacks.
And
this time.
You guys get to hang out with me.
This time. Not last time. That's how we started, wasn't it? Wow, that came full circle. I really thought you said that. I was like, whoa. Okay. This is happening.
I'm going to fearless, but you know.
Yeah, I was like, wow, Brooklynites are wild. Anyhow. Well, if you go back to the beginning of it, you'll understand why we just said that. But it all started with snacks and it ended with snacks. So we'd like to thank everybody, and especially Andrew Follett, and our sponsors, LaBella Strings and Bob's Used Helicopter.